Yes, God is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Come, is your oasis where His grace is, living waters flow. Oh yes, now come, is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Say praise the Lord. How many of you have God been your oasis in dry times of your life? Certainly He has. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Here's a testimony. Wants to thank the Lord Jesus for keeping His angels over Brother Boaz, Sister Rebecca, and Sister Ruth Cox last night during an accident. By God's grace, no one was injured, so they want to thank the Lord for that. I want to pray for Brother Terry Stockton this morning, unable to be in the house of the Lord, not feeling well. Brother Curtis Hunnell wants to thank the Lord for healing him. I'm so happy to be back in church. Thank you for praying for me when I was in the hospital and recovering. Thanks for all the help, the cards, the phone calls, visits, and especially the cooking. Thank you all in Christ. Brother Curtis, we're surely glad you're back in the house of the Lord with us. Here's a prayer request to remember a Sister Hope. I won't be able to get that last name exactly right, but they want us to remember her in our prayers. She needs a healing touch from the Lord, so let's pray for that need this morning. Sister Louise or Lucille Adkins, we'd like to thank everyone for praying and for the cards during her recent illness. She's able to be in the service today, so praise the Lord for that. Please remember my 5-year-old daughter, Harmony Townsend, in prayer for a speedy recovery. She was burned very badly on her face, neck, and chest. We've already seen miraculous happenings since this incident occurred, and we know nothing is too hard for our God. That's from the Townsend family, so we certainly want to pray for that little child, that the Lord would just continue to touch her little body. Please pray for Brother Tracy. He has to see the heart doctor tomorrow. Pray that everything will be all right. We'll just commit Brother Tracy to the Lord. We know God is more than able to help him, and we just believe that God will, don't we? Sister Sylvia Barham wants us to remember her Aunt Margaret Margaret Peters in prayer. She's facing surgery for cancer. Thank you for your prayers. We'll just commit her unto the Lord this morning. I want to please pray for Elise Horniak. She has a sore throat. Let's pray for that need. Please pray for Brother Bill Bailey, a pastor in Michigan, has a painful tumor on his kidney. He preached here at Happy Valley Church in the spring of 94, so we just commit that unto the Lord this morning as we pray. Mark and Teresa Carter, Brother Mark and those folks have a special unspoken prayer request that they would like for the church to help them pray about. We just commit that unto the Lord. And then there's no name attached to this, but domestic problems, someone in the family treating their mother and their younger brother in a very evil way. They're just asking that we would pray that the Lord would undertake in that situation. Brother and Sister Maxwell sends in this testimony. We pray for Matthew Price and Marilyn Buchanan several weeks ago for possible serious health problems. Both got good reports from their tests, so they want to praise the Lord for that this morning. Certainly want to continue to remember the McKinney family in prayer. Brian, David, Sister Yvonne, and all the children, all the grandchildren. I believe Brother Brian and some of the folks are here with us in service this morning. Sure glad to see those folks in the service today. Then we got somebody in the service today that hasn't been here in a long, long time. 94 years young, Brother James Stamper. Able to be in the service this morning. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, he's the energizer. He just keeps on going, don't he? Well, we just thank the Lord that he's let us all be together one more time. Isn't God good? Somebody say praise the Lord. Before we pray over their request this morning, why don't you take just a minute, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell them you're glad to see them in church. It's on Sunday morning. God bless you. Good to see you. Play some more of that song. Let's sing that one more time, if you will. Spoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Daniel, if you'll come at this time, listen about the presence of our Lord into this service. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? Wasn't the word of the Lord wonderful? Praise God. We just thank God for it. Let's just take these needs unto the Lord. Join in with Brother Daniel. We appreciate this guy, don't we? Amen, buddy. Love you, partner. Appreciate you.
Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just come to you this morning with thankful hearts. Thank you, Lord, because you love us so much that you went to an old rugged cross and you bled and died for our sins. And it's by your stripes that we are healed. God, we praise you for everything you mean to us. And God, we praise you for this congregation, these people this morning. God, as we come together to worship you, may your hearts and minds, Lord Jesus, be in the place that you have them be. Lord Jesus, we just want to bring our petitions and our requests before your throne. God, you hear every need that was spoken this morning. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you intervene to heal and to save and to deliver. God, we pray for the one that lost a loved one, Brother Doug. God, we pray that you'll be with that family, God, that you'll watch over them. God, that you'll fill that empty spot within their heart. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll take this service. Bless every part of it, Lord Jesus. Just let your spirit energize us this morning. God, there being visitors in our midst, we pray that you'll bless them. God, for our soldier boys, that you'll be with them, Lord Jesus. God, we commit everything into your hands. In the name of Jesus, we'll give you the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. I believe we do have some folks from South Carolina. Is that right? That area? You... Georgia. Well, they're here. I believe somebody was telling me, I hope I've got the right brother in mind. I'm famous for not having things right. So one more time won't hurt nothing, will it, Brother Terry? But I believe this brother, someone was telling me last night that he had heard a tape of Brother Donnie ministering somewhere, maybe in South Carolina or somewhere. And they just wanted to come up and be in service with us. We're certainly glad to have him, Martin. God bless you. Glad to have you here. Anybody else that's visiting this morning and I didn't mention your name or I don't know that you're here, well, we're just tremendously glad to have you in the service. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. I believe we're going to have a good time here today. Now, we sung two new songs last night, and this computer screen, it absolutely bum-puzzled me, Brother Terry. But we're not going to give in to that. We're going to do them again this morning. Is that all right with everybody? You, like me and like these guys up here, we're learning them together. And you know what? If we mess up, we're going to do it together. Is that all right? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. As I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance, everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle out in front of me, and I'm afraid I won't be able, and I'll go down in defeat. But he said I walked on the water, and I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven? And I'd do it all again.
I can't find it. Just take a look behind you at just how far you've come. Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home.
Oh, yes.
She said, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears the voice so still and low.
Oh, yes.
Says, I've moved like that before. I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more.
And he said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave
all of heaven just to die for your sin. I searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again. He said, do you remember just where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you have come. Every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home.
Oh, yes.
She said, my bills are coming due, Lord. And 6 days is not,
it's
that,
not
long.
That long.
She hears a voice so still and low. I've moved like that before.
Hallelujah.
I'll do this little thing for you, and I'll give you so much more.
And he said, I walked on the water.
I calmed the raging sea.
I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin?
I searched until I found you.
And I do it all again.
So do you remember?
Oh, sing it.
Where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you and just how far you've come.
And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I leave just to die for your sin?
I searched till I found you, my child. I do it all again.
Yes, he would. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's do that other song. Just so that you folks that are here today, that wasn't last night, we'll learn it. We'll learn it together again with you folks as well this morning. Let's do that. I'm rich. You ready? All right. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory. For I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory. For I'm a rightful heir. My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. I believe I own at least one. I stand amazed when I see his face, knowing I'm his son. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir. I've got a guardian angel watching over me. He's with me everywhere. When I need my Father up in heaven above, I breathe a simple prayer. I'm rich in faith, hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, where I'm a rightful heir.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sin. He took me
in. Oh, yes, he did.
He's building me a mansion beyond compare. Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire.
Well, I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share.
has cleansed me and forgiven me of all my sins.
Say it, buddy.
He took me in. He built me a mansion beyond compare.
Hallelujah.
I'm a millionaire.
I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
Hallelujah. Now I want you to shake somebody else's hand this morning and tell them you might not know it, but you're shaking the hand of a millionaire. You are. You're shaking the hand of a millionaire. Time's over. Time's over. Praise the Lord. You didn't know there's so many rich folks in this church, did you? Praise the Lord. Now don't give somebody your bank account number because they'll go make a withdrawal on you. Sure as the world. But we're rich in something else. Not in gold and silver over here, but you ought to see our, stockpile over there. Give the Lord one more big hand, have a praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. He has made us millionaires. You're a millionaire today. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody had put on the internet that, Miss Oprah Winfrey is worth $2.7 billion. And so you're complaining because Mitt Romney is worth a paltry $250 million. Well, you know what? That ain't got a thing to do with this service. But there's one thing about it. $2.7 billion, that can't touch us. That can't touch what you're worth. You're loved so much that he left the portals of glory to come down here and give his blood for you. You mean so much to him that he chose to let you see this great end time message. You mean more to him than more than 2.7 billion. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share. I'll be moving to the mansion just over in glory, for I'm a rightful heir.
He has cleansed me, forgiven me of all my sin. He took me to beyond compare.
Hallelujah, I'm a millionaire. I'm rich in faith and hope and love. I got more than my share.
I'm a rightful heir.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We're going to have a song. Sister Cinda Hunt, and I think there's several involved in that group. If they'll come to the platform and get ready to sing for us at this time. And then I believe Brother Brandon's here in the service again this morning. If you don't have anything else, I'd like for you to do the song you did here Wednesday night. We really liked that. That was a very, very sweet song. So let's just enjoy it. Take a couple, three or four, five, six, 7 minutes and enjoy these songs. Brother Brandon, if you want to come onto the platform, be getting ready. Give these singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you today.
is a love song to my friend. Above, he is the one who cares for me and showed me real love. He loved me in spite of my faults. He loved me when I was lost. He cares for me, really cares for me. That's why I love him deeply, see. So many came into my life and left me with a shattered heart, but never again. Now I'm with him and he's given me something. This is a love song to my friend. Above, he's the one who looked beyond all my faults and showed me real love. He loved me back into life. Oh, he loved me despite the price. He cares for me, really cares for me. That's why I love him deeply, see. So many came into my life and they left me with a broken heart, but never again, for now I know who loves me the most, and I'll never go back again. From the bottom of you never left me alone. So
try a different one this morning. QG. Call to Him, He will answer us. If we'll run to Him, He will run to us. If we'll lift our hands, He will lift us up. Come and praise His name, all you saints of God. And sing for joy to God. Draw near to Him, He is here with us. Give Him your love, He's in love with us. He will heal our hearts, He will cleanse our hands. If we'll rend our hearts, He will heal our land. So sing for joy to God, our strength. We call to Him, He will answer us. If we'll run to Him, He will run to us. If we'll lift our hands, He will lift us up. Come and praise His name, all you saints of God. And sing for joy to draw near to Him. He is here with us. Give Him your love. He's in love with us. He will heal our hearts. He will cleanse our hands. If we rend our hearts, He will heal our land. So sing for joy to God, our strength. Sing.
Glad He's your strength and help today in the time of trouble, time of distress. St. John chapter 6, let us begin reading verse 62. St. John chapter 6. The words of our Lord Jesus. What an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, rhemas, that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, look at this setting. You can imagine here is a man that looks like any other man. They've seen him eat lamb, bread, vegetables. They've seen him drink as any other human being would have drunk, perspiration come off of his face, tired, weary. And yet he says, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before. Now surely this guy's not saying what we think he's saying. That He was up there and He came down to here. And then what if you saw Him go up again? And what if somebody said that to you today? You'd be calling this special phone number you have in your phone, wouldn't you? They'd come bring them funny little jackets and zip them up. You imagine they thought no less of Him. Now, He's done said several things to them that they cannot comprehend. Now, He's going to go a little bit deeper with it. In verse 63, He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, which is give life, make alive, to produce alive, beget or bear living young. Notice now He didn't say it was the Word that quickeneth, but the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words, which is the Greek word here is rhema, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now listen to this I found this morning. Brother Ben says, the Holy Spirit behind the word puts it into action and demonstrates the power that it promised. Every blessing that God promised, everything that He said, can be brought to life if the Holy Spirit is behind the Word. Because that's the thing that quickens the Word and gives it life. I wonder, friends, as if this has not been a lot of the problem down through the years. We've tried to serve God by Logos. We've tried to make things work by Logos. And we've tried to do it by intellect instead of power. Listen to this again. The Holy Spirit behind the Word puts it to action and demonstrates the power that it promised. Every blessing that God promised, everything that He said, can be brought to life. Now, if it's already alive, why would you need to bring it to life? But it can be brought to life. Notice now, if the Holy Spirit is behind the Word, because that's the thing that quickens the Word and gives it life. Let's bow our heads together. How many would like to be remembered today in prayer before the Lord? God bless you. I'd also like to remember, continue to remember the family of Brother Doug McKinney his passing, God would just help his family and minister to them. Also, the friends that were real close to him here in the church, it's been really hard for them too. So, Heavenly Father, as we approach you today, Lord, through the channel of prayer, how we appreciate it so much. Knowing that at one time we as Gentiles would never even have the opportunity to be able to come into the holiest of holies. But today we've been baptized into that place by the Holy Ghost. And it makes us so grateful, Lord Jesus. Father, you saw the hands of the people that were uplifted here today. It signified a need, a desire, a trouble, a dilemma in their lives. Something that they're going through. Something that they need divine counsel, divine help from you to be able to move in this behalf. Lord, we also want to remember Brother Doug McKinney's family. Lord, you see this sudden going of our brother. And Lord, I know it really affected them. And we're just asking that you would help them and be with them, Lord. And several here in our church that have become quite close to Brother Doug over the years. And many that have known him for many, many years. And Lord, it leaves an empty spot in our hearts. But Father, we know that one by one we gather and we go across and we reassemble on the other side of Jordan. That we pray for your help and your comfort, Lord Jesus. Most of all, we desire that we can be ready, Lord, that if we were to walk out of this door today, that none of us have a hope that we have another day of life. Lord Jesus, may you be with us and guide us and help us so we can please you, Lord. For it's in your name and you are the word that we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, friends. You may be seated. Certainly appreciate you being here today. Rhemas are spirit and life. Rhemas are spirit and life. How powerful, how wonderful the written word of God is. It sets forth the very makeup of God in many ways. Sets forth an historical account of God. Sets forth types, shadows, reflections of things that God wanted to do in future ages. But yet, just by reading the Word of God, if this was all that we have, it would be a wonderful thing. But it would leave us with such foregone conclusions that we would think, well, how does God feel about that? And how does God feel about this? And what's God's stand and feeling of this and that and the other? So God, knowing that He would be dealing with people for many, many millennia, He decided to put His Word in this form, written Word, that it would be written down, that people would be able to have historical accounts of what God has done for people in the past when they obeyed Him, also what He done whenever they disobeyed Him. He wanted to put promises in there that would give them hope, that they could have something they could look to. He also wanted to put prophecies in the same book that would be able to tell them of events that would come to pass. Many of those events would be good. Some of the events would not be so good. So His Word then is made up of history. It is made up of prophecy. It is made up of poems. It is made up of songs. It is made up of historical accounts of the lives of those that He dealt with and that He loved. It's also made up of historical accounts of those who despised Him and of those who despised His people. Yet in that, in the contents of that book, it is a wonderful surmising, really, of all the ages that we have thus far. And it gives us a overview of what will happen in the future that lays before us. And it's a wonderful account, no doubt. If we had this alone, it certainly would give us a better view of God. But yet, aren't you glad that God has also included in His program not only to be written just right here, but that God, by His indwelling presence, would be able to lead every individual heart onto a walk with Him on a day-to-day basis. Because there's certain things in life that we face, and as we go through and we try to look into the Bible and we try to find an answer, and the Bible will give us a very broad spectrum of things that we're going through. But it does, many, many times, it does not hone right down to the, you know, the decisions that you might need to make for today or tomorrow, or the things that's facing you that you may not be able to know exactly what to do. And God did it that way. He could have made the Bible. Now, thank God, instead of making the Bible this size, where we we could carry it under our arm, God could have included much more history. God could have included many, many more prophecies if He'd so desired. God could have made the Bible to where the Bible actually would have been a tractor and trailer load of books that would have been contained in the Bible. Man, I'm sure glad He didn't do that. I'd had a hard time packing that to church, wouldn't you? Now think, He could have done it. Do you think this is all the history that has happened that happened to God and His people? Of course not. Do you think this is all the prophecies that God, could have said? Of course not. But God gave us enough to where it would give us an overview. And remember that Logos gives us an overview or the bigger picture of God. And yet when Jesus comes, He said, "It is written of me, I have come in the volume of the book." So when the volume of the book was made known, yet Jesus did much more than actually what the volume of the book said He would ever do. Now, if you'd only take the messianic prophecies of Genesis 3 and of Isaiah 7, of Isaiah 9, 6, Zechariah 12, many of the messianic prophecies, and then you'd compile them together, it would give you a pretty vague view, really, of what the Messiah was going to be. This is why the Pharisees were so overwhelmed when Jesus came, because it was only an overview of what the Messiah would be. So when He comes, if He's just going to be Logos alone, then He can only do what the Logos describes to the letter, and He can do no more. Now, if the Logos says, "In the lame man shall leap as an hart, the tongue of the dumb shall sing," you know, the Haggai 2:7, "The desire of all the nations shall come," on and on and on and on. Jesus would have only needed to have been on the earth about maybe a week or two and done what the scripture said, and He'd been gone. But now notice the Logos gives us an overview of what God has in His mind. Then when Rhema comes on the scene, Jesus was not only the Logos, but He received the very life of God, which now makes Him the quickened word. So then more of the mystery of God would be unfolded how on His everyday life. Now He would take the Psalms, He would take the messianic prophecies given by Moses and said, "Behold, the Lord your God shall raise up a prophet like unto me from among your brethren. Whoever don't hear him will be cut off." Still, that's very vague. It doesn't give you really much an overview and insight of what this man's going to be. But when He come then, He's not only just the Logos, but now He is the quickened word in His life. You follow me? You know what I'm saying? You see, God does not want you and I to be so void and away from the Logos that we don't have the word to pattern our lives. But neither does He want us to be in such a spot to where that we can only move if we have a scripture that tells us. You're going to be in a mess, friend, I'll tell you. Because we're living in a day to where God has allowed it to be thus. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's science and sin and civilization and the progression of time and sin has actually outgrown the pages of the Bible. And there are things in the Bible you'll not be able to find. Pornography in the Bible, you'll not find internet in the Bible. You'll not find many things that are now wrong that you and I know is wrong, but yet the Bible will not identify them directly. Hold on now, and neither will the message. There are things, so sin has grown beyond what the quotes define as sin. And many of the people in the message, you see where they are then? They've come to the end of their period and they can go no farther. I feel sorry for them because as time goes on, they're just at the end of their period and they will advance no farther. They'll be able to go no farther, which means they'll not be included in the rapture. Because God is a moving God. Now, aren't you glad that we have our Bibles today? Aren't you glad we have tapes and we have the message books? But aren't you glad that we still have the Holy Ghost and anointed ministry that are able to bring us up to date with the time of where we are? Now, you realize if the Lord tarries in a few years from now and I get a few more years on me, you all won't want to hear me no more. You'll be wanting to get a younger guy to be able to come and take my place. I'll get to where I won't be able to remember and I'll forget my thoughts and I'll do all that sort of thing. That's just common. That's just the way that it happens. And you'll want to get somebody else. Now, it would be very senseless and foolish of you all to want to say, I've been so helped by Brother Donnie. I don't want to do that. I want to do that. We just want to keep on playing his services over and over and over again. You know what? You're regressing. You're not going on with God.
You're going on because if it goes on another 10 years, another 5 years, what if it goes on another 15 or 20? Oh, you say, oh no, God forbid. Well, God forbid. But if that's in His plan, then we want to go right along with it. But we must move as the pillar of fire moves. Now notice the pillar of fire is not the Logos, but the pillar of fire anoints the Logos and makes it live. Now the pillar of fire has the ability to go in and anoint and hang over the Logos, that which has been written for thousands and thousands of years. As I read it to you last night, we don't need a new translation of the Bible. We don't need a new Bible, but the Logos needs to be quickened by the Holy Ghost. Now the Spirit of God can be able to go and move upon the Word as me or any other anointed man of God is sitting and reading the Word of God, giving them a thought, something that you even know by memory. And yet all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will quicken that, and He's not quickening your memory, but He's actually quickening the Logos to open the Logos in an avenue that you never quite looked at before. Now that, I didn't just make that up. That's actually a quote. Brother Ram said that's the way a preacher gets his sermon, that he sits there and reads the Word, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God makes that Word real. And he said it's the same way when you're sitting there reading the Bible and the Spirit of God makes it real. Now it's not that He's just bringing it back to your memory. By God's grace, I've always had a good memory, even, you know, whenever I was back in school and whenever I did secular work. I worked at a garment factory there in Kentucky, and I worked in the shipping department, and I worked in shipping garments all over the United States and different places. I can to this day remember the addresses of those companies, certain style numbers, department numbers, and all that sort of thing. Now that's in my memory. But yet whenever I go to preaching and then the Holy Ghost goes to anointing my memory, then the scriptures and the quotes will pour out of me like a Gatling gun. Now that's just the way it is. It's always been that way ever since I started preaching. But you know what? It's not the Holy Ghost quickening my memory that makes it Rhema. Now that is to be able to, you know, maybe there's a question in somebody's mind, the Holy Ghost will quicken my memory and be able to bring that answer to you. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's Rhema when it is quickened. That is the human instrumentality that God gifted me with. Now other men are gifted in various ways. We all know that. And the Spirit of God will move upon that gift that He gave them to make the Word real. But is that making it Rhema? No, it is only the Spirit of God moving on them. Will it be Rhema to you? It can be if you're in the channel to where you can receive it. But if not, you'll go to church, you'll hear Logos, 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 Logos. Some of you will sit down, we won't do nothing for you. You say, I've done heard that part. I've done heard that part. I've done heard that part. But if you'll be able to listen to Rhema, though you may have heard some of the same statements, phrases. I mean, look, friend, I've been here 25 years, I think it is now. So y'all pretty well know my phrases. Y'all pretty well know all my hand movements. I've only got so many. I'm sorry. I've only got so many frowns, so many smiles, so many where I can raise my eyebrows. Y'all done got them all down pat. You've done got them memorized. So if that's what you're going to be called out of here by rapture, I feel sorry for you. But what we want to do is not look at the hand movements and the eyebrows being raised and all that sort of thing. What we want to listen for is the Word. And we don't want to hear it just in the repeating of Logos, but asking God, God, make it real to me. You know where I am. You see what I'm going through. Listen, some of you are at a place in your life that you have never been before. Many of you are Christians. I'm talking about mature Christians. And you've been serving God for many, many, many years. But you've been going through changes. You've been going through things. Some of you even questioning about what you believe. What do you believe about this and what do you believe about that? And you're at a spot you've never been before. Do you need another version of the Bible? Do you need to find another software program somewhere that'll help explain the Greek a little deeper? No, you need Rhema. You need the Spirit of God to take what you've already heard, what you've already listened to, and quicken it to you over and over and over again. This is the way we will take the rapture. It will not be by the accumulation of Logos, because if that's so, then no older people will be able to go. Because it's just a proven fact, as you get older, you lose your ability to recall. You lose your ability to memorize. So God would have to take all the young people in the rapture and leave all the rest of us behind. But it's not by recall. It's not by memory. It's what the Spirit of God makes real. Now, watch this. Let's look in the Easter seal, if you would. Now, it is the Spirit that quickens. It's not the Word. Listen. It's not the Word that quickens. It's the Spirit that quickens the Word. Or gives, listen, gives the Word. surely Brother Branham is not saying that the word doesn't have life in this format. The letter kills. But the spirit make us alive. Yet we pride ourselves on how much seed we know. And a lot of us ain't nothing but walking granaries. That's all we are. Man, we're up to here in seed. Woo! Boy, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, we are to the top with seed. We've got this quote and that historian and this one and that one and this Greek word and that Hebrew word. That's not what gives life. Now, but if the Spirit of God's going to fall, I'd rather have a whole granary full of seed than have a whole granary full of nonsense. I'd rather have all that than I would all the basketball scores and the football scores and the price of gold and the price of silver and the price of this. I know some of you brothers need all that in your business, but don't make that your entire life. Someone said, well, I'm not a preacher. I don't need to study. Where did you get that at? If the Holy Ghost is going to anoint you, is he going to fall on the price of converters? Is he going to fall on sisters that it takes a yard and a half to make a certain dress and so much chocolate mix and so much salt and so much pepper and so much barbecue sauce? Is that what he's going to anoint? All of us need to read the word and feed on the word, not just preachers. Glory! Now you look at this, you realize, of course, I know you know this already, that this is actually a parallel of the believers of the predestinated seed. I love the way he sets his force in Easter still again. But if God said in this day, back in the beginning, God said this, John Doe will be my servant millions of years ago. So I ask you the simple question, will John Doe or will he not be a God servant? He will be. If God said it. Now, but God could say it in logos form and it'd be millions of years. And that word would do absolutely nothing. But one day a little baby was born on the earth to a Doe family. And mother and father decide to give John this name. They're going to call this baby boy John, and his name is John Doe. Now, there might have been 500 more John Does born on that day. But this John Doe was different in that he was thought of millions of years before his birth. Now, where was that thought all those millions of years? Where was that thought? It was in God's mind. There it could stay as in the granary of God's seed children. It could lay there and lay there and lay there and lay there and never come to life. Until the reciprocating part was born on the earth one day. And when John Doe was born, something come down from heaven traveling like a thought. Glory to God. Now watch this. Now John Doe will be my servant millions of years ago. Now John Doe was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world. Notice how he comes, like me and you, speaking lies because he's immortal. But maybe he gets a little religious feeling. He'll go join a church. Maybe he'll join a Pentecostal church. Don't know. He might join anything. That's what a lot of us done. We come through the seven church ages nearly. Started out Catholic, went to the Baptist, went to the Methodist, come up through Luther, come up through Pentecost. We shouted, we jerked, we done all that sort of thing. What was it? You're searching for life. There's something down inside of you searching for life. Now what is it? As God unfolded by evolution, even though many of us have come through a form of spiritual evolution ourselves, we progress and progress and progress. Hey, I'm still there. I don't know about you. And I'm going to come from a monkey to a man. I'm going to come from one man to another man. Amen. From a mortal man to an immortal one. Now, so John Doe gets a religious feeling. He joins one church and another church and another church. But John Doe is bound to recognize who his father is. Just as the eagle recognized who his mother was. It's got to recognize it, see. Only that John Doe is God's attribute that become a word. Spoken. And then the Holy Spirit seeks that word out. Now Bob and John Doe was a thought before he became a word. Then he became a spoken thought, which is a word, which is logos. Now it can come if God so desires. It does not have to come, you know, actually through logos form first, because many of the prophets spoke the living word of God. It was the rhema of God, straight direct from God. It did not need to be logos form first and then become rhema, but it comes straight from the living God by creative power. When Moses stands there and said, let there be lice, let there be frogs, let there be this, that's not logos. That's actually the very rhema of God. That's God taking the spoken word and doing it right there. You understand? Don't you see what the rapture will be? There's no scripture in the Bible that tells us when it will be, what day it will be. There's no quote that tells us that. It will be the spoken word of God, the rhema of God, on the day of the rapture that will speak, and all of those elect on the earth and those that are in the sixth dimension, they will begin to respond to the spoken word of God. But if God so desires, he separates rhema, he separates logos rather, from dunamis, which is God's power. Now there's several Greek words, of course, in the New Testament that's for power, exousia, one of them, dunamis, energia. But yet here, whenever you talk about knowing God by related of his word, it is this word that's used over and over and over again, dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite. Now, logos can come in this form. It can come in a form of a body. It can come in a form of a man or girl or boy or whatever. Or it can come in this form. Now, let's leave this Bible land right here for the next 235 years. We won't change it. We won't move it. We'll simply dust around it and dust it off. And when we come back, if any of you is living, and we come back, what we will see is nothing but a dead piece of wood. If this piece of oak is still here, and this Bible is still here, this oak will have not come to life, and acorns come off of it, and leaves, and this board, all of a sudden, it started growing into a big tree, and the roots went down in beneath the concrete of this building, and this gigantic oak standing there, because this word gave this oak board life. What it will do in a matter of months, it'll start discoloring this finish. The black will merge into this, and you lift this up, and you're going to see it changed, all right? It's actually going to make it worse. Don't you see what logos does to a heart that's not quickened by the Holy Ghost? Don't you see what it does? And Satan knows that too. That's why Satan is not afraid for you to become religious. He just don't want you to become saved. Satan don't mind you going to church. He just don't want you to know the life, the resurrection and life. Hold on, children. Satan don't mind you coming to the message of the hour as long as you don't come to Jesus. He don't mind you listening to tapes and going to church and even waving your hands every now and then. Just don't get no new verse. Because you take that same words off of the pages of the Bible and let a whore hear them words, and God's power will transform that woman's life. Or take a drug addict or a junkie or whatever it is. Let the Holy Ghost take them words, and it'll make them a living human being with eternal life. And yet, this piece of oak will just be a piece of oak. Now, this piece of oak was a great tree one time. Red oak. Beautiful. Beautiful leaves. Beautiful, beautiful tree. But when man cut it down to make his furniture out of it, the life left it. Well, does not it have the potential for life to return? This is the power of God, the word of God, is it not? So what if we take this word right here and fill it in a human being that is no more in spiritual comparison to a dead piece of oak lumber? And they'll sit there and they'll quote and they'll scrutinize and they'll quote and they'll pick this and they'll pick that and they don't like this and they don't like that. But yet they're so full of logos. They just ain't got no life. But now if they're John Doe now with the seed... Amen. Let's look at old brother John, shall we? Or substitute your name there if you'd like to, because this is us in general. Now, notice John Doe is an attribute, God's attribute, that become a word. God's attribute that become a word. Now, all this happened before you even had a choice. So you really had nothing to do with this. It comes from attribute form to word form, and you had nothing to do with it. Which, you can do whatever you want to with your free moral agency, but I'll tell you one thing. Free moral agency is what got me in so much trouble. Oh yeah, I've got a right to choose. I can vote for whoever I want to vote for. You know, I can go wherever I want to go as far as going to eat, all this, that, and the other. But I'm so glad sovereignty kicked in before I even had a choice. You see, amen. It was not me that told God, now God, don't you think it's time that I become from an attribute to a word? John Doe is God's attribute. That's become a word spoken. Don and Betty Reagan had no idea what was going on. July the 9th, 1956. I was born that morning. Carol was born that afternoon. Just a few miles down the road. They had no idea. Neither my parents nor hers. Eula and Vernon Smith. Her born down in Clinton County. They had no idea that before the world began, millions of years back, God had attributes in His mind. Now, whether they were on the same side of His mind or this together on the same side, I'm not sure, but we come from eternity together, so we must have been up there together somewhere. Amen. So however that department is worked out in heaven, the file department, the allocation of seed life, it was time for it to come from thought form into word form. Then it must move by spoken word. So here I am, mom and daddy, you know me, they're firstborn and they're so tickled to death. Mama 19, daddy 18 or a little older than that, something like that. Oh man, they were so proud and so happy and I took the breath of life. But they didn't see it. Nobody there saw it. But all of a sudden a thought that become a word, which was a logos, went down inside my little body. There I was, no doubt I was an emotional little fellow since I've always been. Oh, just a screaming and a squalling, look like any other baby. Amen. But yet down inside of there, here come John Doe. Yeah. Amen. What's that? John Doe is God's attribute. That's become a word spoken. Then the Holy Spirit seeks. He seeks that word out. He ain't looking for your flesh. He ain't looking for your family trait. He ain't looking for a certain. He's seeking the word. Don't you see what it is, friend? Oh, I'll tell you one thing. When that Holy Ghost gets on the trail, he's worse than a beagle hound. Oh, 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 oh. Here he goes. My man is developed heat-seeking missiles. God developed a Holy Ghost seed beagle. I'll tell you what, it's seeking out. It's looking at, whoa, 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 whoa. There's one. Oh, I found one father. I found another father. I found another. I found another. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost ain't looking for the length of your dress. He ain't looking for the length of your hair. He's word searching. If he finds that word, the hair will grow out. If he finds that word, sin will go. Come on. Then the Holy Spirit seeks. Don't you love this word? Seeks. The Holy Spirit seeks. Looking. You ever lose something and you want it back? Maybe it's your car keys or whatever. I know I put them down. Where are them things? They make them little buzzers for folks like us. You know, it reminds you all them. You don't remember where you parked your car. They got an app, you know, on your phone where you can put it in, where you can, well. I know I parked here at Walmart. Where was it? That's why they put them signs above your head, you knothead, if you'd look out. So here goes God speaking them out. Like logos. So they land here and there and there and there. Now they're in a vulnerable state. They were protected. They were oversown. They were watched over so carefully as long as they remained here. But they moved from here to here. And he says, let Donnie be born. And here I come traveling like a thought. No telling how many babies was born that same morning, that same time in China, Japan, Australia, all over the world. But God sent this thought down to a little old shack down in Kentucky. Hallelujah. This is why I don't worry about death. I don't worry about hell. I don't worry about being lost. How can I be lost? How can you be lost? How can I worry about going to hell? I never come from hell. I have nothing in hell. I ain't going to hell. I come from heaven. I'm going back to heaven. What it is, you shall see me ascend up where I was before. What it is, I shall see you ascend up where you was before. Pray, hallelujah. So here comes that little Logos in each one of us. Maybe your family was a drinking family, a gambling family, racist, or whatever type of sin they were in. That little seed, that little scripture, that little passage of God would lay there. You'd sneak behind a building one day and take your first draw off of a cigarette. Didn't have no religious teaching. Didn't know nothing about it. But something smote your heart. In one way it shouldn't have. Because you was raised a heathen. Glory. But the deposit was already made. You snuck around, took your first drink, or you started doing this and doing that and the other. My. And the Holy Spirit would let it lay there like a scripture in the Bible. It would lay there and lay there and lay there. And maybe you saw church people say, if that's religion, I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want nothing. I'll never be that. I'll never be that. God said, that's right. You're going to be a son. You ain't never going to be no lukewarm person. That'll never satisfy you because you're one of my attributes. Do you think God could be satisfied by coming and sitting at a church and being a member? If God came to this city, where would he go to church? Would he be welcome at our church? Is there enough life at Happy Valley for God himself to say, I feel at home here? What if God come in without a suit on? Looking like a tramp. Come on now. I want to have the kind of church that if Jesus was to ever visit down in Johnson City, this would be the place he'd go. Not because me and you, but because we create the atmosphere that he would feel comfortable in doing so. It was almost as if there was a time in God's mind that God wasn't even thinking of you. You went on your way, living your merry life. You chose your destiny. I want to be a businessman. I want to be that. I want to do this, that, and you set your goals. It's already set. I've got all these great abilities. And it's like it just lays there, dormant. Nothing happens for years. You pass by church signs and where would you be if you died tonight? Where will you spend eternity? Something like that. And you know, you think, oh my, I know I need to do better. I know I need to do better. But your ambition grabs a hold of you. Oh, don't worry about that. You got plenty of time. You're just in your 20s. Man, you need a BA. You need DD, LLD, ZYT, OOALMNOP. You need all them degrees if you're going to make something in life. You want to make something in life, don't you? Don't you want to leave an impression in life? Don't you, when you go, don't you want people to know you lived? Really, I want them to know I died. So he lived in me. That's the only way we'll really leave a lasting impression, friends. And it must have been one day from the file department in heaven, a synchronization links from the mind of God, and the Holy Spirit receives a message. Start dealing with Donnie's heart. So it began in the back bedroom of the old house that we lived in. It was so cold in the wintertime, they only had one stove, and that was in the kind of the living room part. So in the bedrooms, it gets so cold that we had to pile up under real, you know what I'm talking about? You never worry about turning and tossing, because once you get into bed and they seal you up, you ain't going to turn nor toss. You about need a jack to get out from under them quilts. Amen. Mama, come in now. I guess I'll never forget as long as I live. They didn't go to church. And I said, Mama, does everybody have to die? She said, yes, darling. I said, Mama, I don't want to die. The two departments synchronized in heaven, and it got a hold of that little something down on the earth. No great change was made. No great move was made. But sometime later, my mama went to church on Sunday morning. She was a backslider. She knew what was right as far as at that time. I seen something change in my mama. And I began to ask mama, Mama, what do you do to get saved? Now here I am, been raised, you know, in the Bible belt, so-called. I was somewhere caught between the hole and the loop. I'm not sure exactly where I was at in the belt. Didn't know about God, didn't know how to pray. But what was it? Synchronization was making in heaven. The Holy Ghost had his word seeking missile out. He'd honed in on me. Beep, 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 beep. I was a target and I didn't know it. I mean, it was this big on my back and he had it honed right in the middle for that soul. Glory to God. Oh, glory. Don't you see, friend, why does it this way? If he would have allowed all of his dunamis, his power, to be linked with his word, I would have been born in this world and so would you, a full-born son of God by natural birth, which is totally impossible. So he must separate dunamis from the written word and let the written word lay there either on the pages of the Bible or lay there in your heart for years and years, even decades. But one day the Holy Ghost says it's time now and he goes to seeking out them words. Glory to God. Think of it. Malachi 4 laid in this Bible for thousands of years. It never delivered one person. Neither did it cause any trouble. People read Malachi 4 and said, my, who's that going to be? Is it going to be this guy, that guy, that guy? But one day, about 30 miles from where I was born, upon a little hill that kind of rises up in a field like this, no great accolades of praise, no great angel standing near. Wasn't even no window glass. So somebody opened up the little shutter, the little wooden window as it was. And in that room come in a thought of God, an expression of what God wanted. It was years and years before that word Malachi 4 ever even come real to the man who was it. They thought he was demon possessed. They thought he was anointed of the devil. So he goes off to pray. Lord God, what is these things? These visions. Oh God, my brothers tell me it's of the devil. And while he's down praying, a light appears in the room. And a man walks in the middle of that light and says, I have been sent from the presence of Almighty God to tell you of your peculiar birth and coming on the earth. And years later, he tells us to me, it was Malachi 4. It was Luke 17:30. All for the earlier years of his ministry before Malachi 4 really started kicking in. Loved by everybody. The multitude thronged because nobody had a gift like he did to pray for the sick. Tell them their name, all this, that, and the other. But Malachi 4 had not yet been fully revealed and hadn't been all night till he come to the seal and said, that just recently happened. In 1962, said Malachi 4 is a germatized seed word and it's got to be fulfilled. Here was the very man that was Malachi 4, but it had not become full rhema yet. And when it did, folks started getting mad. And what we say when the word come open is what they say is when he started going off. Imagine when the Wright brothers started fooling with flying. Don't you know everybody in that day just thought they was the greatest guys that ever was? Everybody was the first in line to want to ride on one of them flying machines. Why, everybody just thought they was the most brilliant men that ever was. And everybody just loved them and thought they were... You haven't read their history, have you? These men were laughed at, made fun of, ridiculed. You're looking at a bird and studying a bird and you think man can fly? I'm so glad them Wright brothers come up with that. I'd sure hate to be thinking about making a trip to South Africa on a boat. I'll see y'all about next July. For four weeks, you know, a weekend meeting, four meetings, and I'll be back next July, Brother Jim. If you need me, I'll send a pigeon or something this way.
Aren't you glad there were some men that had a vision to know us? It's not normal. If God wanted us to fly, give us wings.
No doubt that's what they heard.
Well, what are you doing? Why have we got feet? We're not supposed to be up there, but something about it, it was pulling them. What was it? God was advancing the word, and science must advance with it. Notice this, friend. God's over the earth in the hour that we're living. He's searching. Don't you say people's falling away? Sure they are. And there'll be more that'll fall away. But the Holy Ghost will not lose one word. Not one word. Not one John Doe will be lost. John Doe is God's attribute. That's become a word spoken in the Holy Spirit. Seeks out that word. What are you looking for? Oh, it's between me and Father. You want to hunt? I sure am. I'm hunting. Is it a rare species? It is. They thought it was extinct, but there's a bunch yet. It's exotic. It's rare. It's very unique. It's one of a kind. Their eyes look the same. Their ears look the same. Their fingers may look the same. They may look the same as others. But down on the inside, the real gem is down in the soul.
Notice this. It's the same way in every church age. The Pergamene church age. I repeat, every church age ends with the same admonition. He that hath an ear, let him, an individual, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The Spirit gives the word. He has the truth for each age. Each age has its own elect. And the elect, that elect group, always heard the word and received it, proving that they had seed in them. Then what have you got to brag about? Oh, I'll tell you one thing. I've done this and that and the other. I'll tell you, I got a hold of the horns of the altar. Come on, be true. God got a hold of yours. You cigarette-sucking drunk liar, you low-down sorry scumbag of the earth. That was the outside. That was the outside, sitting there drinking whiskey, not even paying your bills, whooping around on your wife, beating around on your young'uns, but down inside of you was a Logos. Amen! The Holy Ghost got to searching. I know of some around this message that the Holy Ghost found them on a bar stool, and the Holy Ghost began to witness to them right there in the bar room. Why? He honed in them right there. The alcohol didn't bother him. He went right in there and got them. Notice this, St. John 8:47. He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. They refuse the word Jesus and his word for their day. But the true seed receive the word because they were of God. Jesus said the same thing in John 6:45. Being one with the word proves whether you are of God and spirit filled. No other criteria. Well, I've been raised in the message. I go to Brother Biscoe's church. I go to Brother Donnie's church. I don't mean nothing to God. I don't mean the morning say I'm going to Walmart or I go to, Target or I go wherever. Thank God. That's not it, friend. The thing of it is, are you a part of God? That's the only way you'll really unite with the Word. Now, there are thousands that are gathered around us that are Logos Christians. They hear it. It makes sense. They begin to, you know, add it together like figures. Hell, that makes sense. That makes sense. True, right, yeah. Jesus said there'd be a prophet. Well, I don't know anybody else. It could be Brother Branham. And they begin to intellectually deduct. And so, who else could it be? Jesus himself said there would come a man in the last days that would restore the truth. Jesus said that. Don't argue with me. Jesus said it. Well, then you have to determine who was that man. W.P. Graham? Or Roberts? Billy Graham? What did Billy Graham restore? What did Oral Roberts restore? And then many people approach the message in this way, and we introduce it this way. From an intellectual standpoint, instead of leading them to a birth of the Word. That may go good for years. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years. But one day, they begin to look around and say, why do I believe this? As a matter of fact, I'm not sure I did believe this. And then you're looking at them and say, you got to be kidding me. You mean, I'm not sure. And you're saying, what happened? As the seed can all of a sudden go, tick, so can also other people only by logos go, tick. And it just hits them one day. They've been thinking about that, they've been contemplating it. It just hits them. Who am I? What am I doing here? Do I honestly believe what these people believe? Well, glory. Now, friends, that is by no means saying that even the elect of God don't get hit with doubts. That's the human part. Anybody ever had the devil tell you there's no God? Told me that this last week. Brother Donnie, not you, yeah, me. Tells me all the time God don't love me, and I call him a liar. Tells me there ain't no God, I call him a liar. Tells me I'm going to hell, I call him a liar. I'm waiting, comes around, and I start to say, liar, 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 liar. Brother Donnie, you ever have questions? All kinds of them. But I'm glad my faith is greater than my questions. Because if it was not, I would not be a believer today. John Doe is not my intellect. This John Doe that I'm talking about is not my education. But it's something that comes from the mind of God. Oh, glory. Notice this in St. John 15:7. If you abide in me, and my Remus abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. Let me tell you one reason why we've done this and it ain't worked. Because we have abide in the Logos. The Word says, 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 the Word says. And then we approach it from an intellectual faith, thinking we don't need divine intervention. When we grow up and we get too big for our britches, God sometimes has to bend us over his knee and warm our britches. And when we think we know so much, we don't need the leadership of the Spirit of God. We need a whooping. And y'all still get whoopings? I do. My seats is wore quite frequently. And I'm proud of it. That's one of the real signs of sonship. Oh, God never touches me. I'd be afraid of your experience. I've got his hand marks all over me. Sometimes I can't even sit down. He wears me out to where I squirm and ooch and I do say, oh, I ought to be shouting because that's a real sign of sonship. Oh, he said, God lets me do whatever I want to do. Why, God don't care. I'd be scared to death of your experience. Because if you're a real son, he loves you and he will correct you when you're wrong. Now we know the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16 that every word of God is inspired, right? It was given by inspiration. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, given for correction of doctrine and so on. But yet the Holy Ghost must come now and illuminate to you that which was inspired by the holy writers as they move of the Spirit of God. Because when they penned it down, they did not incorporate logos and inspiration under their pen. They were inspired when they wrote it, and they wrote, and they wrote, and they wrote, and they wrote, and they wrote down logos.
Many Christians sit and read it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside waters. The Logos will do that to you. It's the best sleeping pill you've ever seen in your life. And I'm not ridiculing you now. I've been there too. But if you ever pick it up, and all of a sudden, them letters, you say, my Lord, I don't even have my readers on. No, you don't need them whenever he really remus you. Man, I'll tell you what, he's got the ability to take them verses and make each letter look like it's about that big. And your eyes are popped out on Samson and you say, my Lord, I don't, have I never read this before? Have I never, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I love it when God does that. When God takes one of your favorite scriptures and really lets you read it for the first time. When he reams that scripture, glory to God. Whenever he gets the Holy Ghost life behind it and you've used it and used it and used it, sometimes had results, sometimes didn't have results. And then all of a sudden the power, the dunamis, the dynamite comes behind it. And then you place that word on your lips. And Satan hears you saying it. He said, good Lord. That sounded like Jesus. Did y'all hear that? When Donnie quoted that, I know I couldn't. Could it? I saw Donnie's lips moving, but I thought I heard Jesus. Lord God, have mercy. When you are filled with deity and you take that word and place it on your lips, it's the same as deity himself. Don't you see what I was pointing at last night in 2 Corinthians 5:17? For he who knew no sin become our sin that we might become the very righteousness of God in him. Do you understand when that becomes a revelation to you and you go before the throne of God, you'll not go as a beggar. You'll not go before the throne of God as somebody that's so low down. Oh God, I'm no good. I'm no count. God, I ain't worthy of being saved. But you will approach the throne of God and again Satan will say, Lord have mercy. His lips are moving. But that sounds just like Jesus. Jesus, he said he was the righteousness of God. Oh no. Hang tight, devil. Can't you see why, friends, folks in the message, they don't even catch it. They don't even understand. They think the focus of the whole message is Brother Branham. Oh, you're supposed to preach, Brother Branham, every service, hunting stories, fishing stories. All. I love them things too, but that ain't going to put me in a rapture. Can't you see why that devil gets mad? I preach these things all over the world, and every time it's always the same reaction among the people. They tighten up on you, they give, and you know what I realize? I realize it ain't them, it's that devil. Because that devil does not want them to know who they are. He wants them to be the beat down little old bride that ain't no good. Oh, but if I was Brother Branham, now I'll tell you one thing. Brother Branham stood before the blood of Jesus Christ and the throne of God and the cross of Jesus Christ. He would not be in a higher elevation than you. He would stand on the same plane as you were. Brother Branham was a sinner that needed to be saved by the grace of God. Paul was a sinner. As a matter of fact, he said he was chiefest among sinners. Paul did not look at himself and said, I'm the great so-and-so and all the rest of you people are low-down scum. That's not the way it was then. That's not the way it is now. It's not that the preachers are these great men standing up on spiritual catapults and the laity are nothing. That's not the truth. God does not want the preachers just to know who they are. But God wants you to know who you are. Every individual man, woman, boy, or girl, that rhema can come out of your mouth. Deity. Deity. Let me close. The prophet said the gospel is not altogether the word. This is the word of God and all things must be based upon this word. If it isn't, it isn't true. Jesus said go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He did not say teach the word. He said preach the gospel. So the gospel consists more than teaching the word.
Skip on down to the lower part of this verse, quote rather. If you just receive the word by knowing the word, that doesn't do you any good. And the church said,
amen.
The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life, and you must be born again. Then the Holy Spirit quickens the word to you. You believe it, church?
Amen.
Oh my. Let's stand together. Let's go over, brothers, another page or two there past the scriptures in Revelation, down to the Ephesian church age, page 96. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It may be that millions will hear these words or read them, but how many will pay heed to them? That we do not know, that we do not know. But he who will lend his ear and want to know the words of truth will find the Spirit of God enlightening him. Now, listen to this. This is where many of the message folks are. If your ear is open to the word, the Spirit of God will make the word real to you. That is the work of the Spirit. Now notice the prophet. I can teach you the truth. But if you don't open your ear to hear it and your heart to receive it, you won't get the revelation. That's why I listen to tapes, listen to preachers, reading your Bible, reading books, all that. And people say, oh, that's it. Just listen to the tapes. Just listen to the tapes. No. The man who preached the tapes, that's not what he said.
Amen.
It's not like to listen to tapes is some type of magic potion that puts you in the rapture because you've got to believe what you're hearing. And then you've got to live what you say you believe. How many people, friends, are sitting in church pews or sitting in homes and they have been taught the truth by Brother Branham? But the truth has not been revealed to them as an individual. Then a question comes up here and one comes up there and one comes up there. This one's leaving and that one's leaving and everybody gets on Facebook, which should be called Trash Book for a lot of folks. I don't understand people. They want to hang out their nasty, filthy laundry on Facebook. They want to get into a fuss with their daughter and they want everybody and their brother to know about it. Brothers get into fuss. What in the world? You know what? It's part of where we are. I mean, I'm not a prophet, so I don't understand how it all works. But no doubt, it's where we are. There's a time somehow. It's where we are. Whatever happened to the backyard thing? Let me tell you, some of you people here at Happy Valley, if you do that, I'm ashamed of you as your pastor. And you are not representing me. No. No doubt those things of social media can be used the right way. But the more I hear about them, I keep hearing trash and garbage and nonsense. Well, glory. Good thing I said this at the end of the service, sir, instead of first. Brother Don, it's my way to empty out. I'll tell you, your place to empty out. If you've still got one, it's called a closet. Go to your closet, get down on your knees, and empty out to him. Because he won't tell nobody. After all, that is the scriptural and message way. Well, glory. Do you realize, friends, many thousands of people have been taught the truth by Brother Branham or by a pastor. But really the truth has never embraced them in their soul. So they get around other people that are nicer than message folks, and there's lots of them that are. I mean, some of these Christians out here treat you much nicer than a lot of the message folks. Question about that. Esau was a much better guy than Jacob was. And if I was going to go by nice people, I'd probably go with them. But it ain't going to be nice people. It's going to get me out here. It's going to be the truth. Now, some of you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. You go ahead. But myself, I've always had a rule. Get the baby out first, then throw the bathwater out. Now, if you want to get rid of this whole message because there's a bunch of people around, that's entirely up to you. It doesn't speak very well of your intelligence. Well, I come to Happy Valley, but there's so many hypocrites here. They are at Walmart too, so don't stop there after church. And this day and time, when you sit down to a restaurant, I hate it when they go,
"May I get your order, please?"
I'm about ready to get up and walk out. I don't know if he's a man or a woman. Maybe he's both. Who knows what he is. But are you there because of him? Or are you to get that get your filet mignon? Bacon wrapped with that sweet, sweet potato with butter and, oh my, cinnamon droppings right on top. And that fresh, lovely bread that's just come out of the oven. Y'all starving to death right now. So you just ignore that thing. And hope he didn't touch your food as it come out. Pray extra hard. If you'll do that at a restaurant, and one of them funny guys check you out at Walmart, and you go to Walmart and get what you want, you say, "Well, I'm glad to be out of there." But you know what? You went in and got what you wanted. You realize every visit you make then will condemn you because you sat at home and didn't do the same when it come to church. Sure, there's hypocrites here. Sure, there's devils here. But there's also saints of God. There's also angels. The Lord Jesus. Right? Amen. I don't want to just hear the truth. I want to know it from here. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Heavenly Father. Lord, it's a terrible time, really. In the sense of the condition of the world. Lord, the nations of the world don't know what to do. Economy globally is a terrible spot. Our nation as well, unemployment so high. And all the things that are going on. Lord, many folks are in the worst shape spiritually they've ever been in their lives. And it's so sad. Because some folks are right in the middle of a revival. But it's not a church revival. This message will never have a move in it again. As far as a global one from you. It'd break your types. You've moved among us. You sent us a prophet with a message. Now, God, the revival will be individuals that'll get their hearts back to that word and sort through all their confusions of this and that and the other. And they just fall in love with you and feed on that word. Happy Valley Church may never have a revival again. I don't know. Brother Bill Yonce's church, Brother Tim Pruitt's church, there may never be another revival that will move in the message ranks. No doubt there won't be. That'll stir everybody in the message. But there can be revivals in every heart that wants one. Lord, help us. We're living in a day when marriages are suffering so terribly. Lord, they raise their kids and then the husband and wife realize they have nothing in common. And our nation leads the world in divorces after 55. Because what they had in common was raising their kids, not their marriage. But Lord, I'm not going to let me and Carol be a statistic because of that. We want to stay in love with each other, stay in love with you, and have a revival. Hallelujah. I refuse to let the statistics dictate to me what I should do. Absolutely not. Already, I'm against the statistics, Lord, of what preachers ought to be. Preachers, many of the percentage of them wind up in divorce, wind up in affairs, and wind up this. That's not what dictates me. I want your word to be the dictate of my heart. Lord God, when people are drying up, dying, and blowing away, as we'd say, I want to be in the middle of revival. When people are saying, "Oh, there ain't no water to drink. There's no spiritual food. Oh, there's that." I want to be right in the middle of an oasis with food. Oh, my. Foods everywhere around me. Precious water to drink. Amen. Grant it, Lord. Help them to realize it won't be this church. It won't even be me and them. It'll be them as an individual. Me as an individual. Every young person. There may be young people here who can have a revival and they go home and mom and daddy, they don't even know one even talk about it. They're so disgruntled. They think they're disgruntled with the church. The truth of it is,
they're disgruntled with them and themselves. Help them, Father. Help each of us, I pray. Grant it, Lord. With our heads bowed, I wonder how many here today, you just like to be remembered before the Lord. Maybe you're just in a time in your life you've never been before. Maybe you've had fears and doubts and questions and not even sure what you believe, where you stand. That's not a shame, friends. I mean, that's just human. It's just human to be that way. The shame is to remain that way. You realize God doesn't condemn a sinner because he's born a sinner. He condemns him because he remains that way. It's not a shame to say I've had questions. I've had doubts. We've all had them. Sure we have. We're human beings. But when it's all said and done, you don't want that doubt to be the controlling factor of your life. You'd like to be remembered. Just raise your hand there to God. Let's just pray together. Now, Heavenly Father, I want to focus on the needs of these people. I realize this service today could be a turning point, Lord. I'm so surprised in the direction, the way the service went. As I studied yesterday and again this morning, I thought I knew the direction it would go, and I had pages and pages of scriptures and quotes and all kinds of things, and just barely got off of page one to the top of page two. For some reason or another, you led it in a different way. I ain't gonna question you. I know you're in control. You know what needs to be said. I just pray that you'd help each of us today. Lord God, may you minister to every heart. Maybe some have, even this week, really pondered and wondered where they stand and do they believe or do they not believe or where do they fit. May you go to their hearts today, Lord. Lord Jesus, may they not walk out of here condemned and say, well, because I felt that way, I'm lost. Of course not. I'm sure glad Peter didn't feel that way that day. He denied him. Denied you, cursed, said he didn't even know you. But he was willing, after you was willing to accept him back, to repent of that. If you did that for Peter, Lord, I'm sure there's Peter standing here today. Lord, maybe they've denied, they've had questions, have had doubt. But may the Spirit of God help them. Just to lay those doubts and things aside. The distrust. May you help them, Father, minister to their heart. We're so glad today that we serve a perfect God. We don't have a perfect prophet. You never had one on the earth. You don't need perfect prophets. You don't need perfect preachers. You're the only thing that we need that is perfect. You are sinless. You are absolute, complete within yourself. So therefore, you put no mortal on the earth to represent that perfection. And even when you tell us to be perfect, it's not the word sinless. It's the word mature. So you tell us to grow up. And we're only perfect in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, help us that we'll not stumble at the weaknesses of others, or most importantly, our own weaknesses. Grant it, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You love him today, friends. You just want to embrace what he spoke to you today from his word. Don't think you know so much that you don't need the Spirit of God to quicken this word to you. I remind you of what I read to you last night, that we need to pray for revelation more than any other thing in the world. More than health, more than healing, more than finances. Revelation. Because if you're sick, if God reveals it to you, by stripes you're healed, your healing will follow. No matter what you need today. He's the source of that. But we must ask him. We must open ourselves. Father, I cannot do this. I cannot live this life by myself. I cannot overcome. I cannot do what you require. I need you to help me. I don't care if you're a housewife, if you're a preacher, what you are. There's certain parts, and let me prophesy to you, there's parts of your walk you'll love, and there's parts of your walk you will not like. You mothers know there's certain parts about being a mother you love and it's so rewarding. And there's other parts about being a mother that you think is wasting your time. You clean up the house and you clean up this and clean up that and you come back in an hour and it's worse shape than it was before you started. You think, what's the use? You think it's a waste of my time? No, there's parts about it you struggle with. As a preacher, I struggle with things. I love getting under the anointing and preaching the word. You don't know how I struggle with every funeral I preach. I die 1,000 deaths, even though God gives me a thought. Every time I go to the hospital, nearly every time I get sick at my stomach. The smell of a hospital. And people there with spirits on them. And they'll always pick me out. There's parts about being a preacher I hate. Come on, y'all, be honest. There's parts about being an organ player you love, Harry. There's parts you don't like. Really? How about you, deacon brothers? Deacons? There's parts y'all like about being deacons? Raise your hands, please. Come on, brothers, a little higher. Is there parts you don't like? What, Dale? What's that? No, I don't want no nod. I want a yap. So how do you do them hard parts? You ask for God's help. Just because I've got a problem doing funerals, am I relieved from this point on now that I've told you all? Does that mean I'm never going to have to do another one? Hey, because I struggle with it. I don't like it. I feel like I never say the right things. I feel like I never say enough, or I say too much. Or I don't, I mean, weddings, I'm all to pieces. Any type of public speaking other than preaching. Because I got more confidence in that than in anything else. So anything other than that, I'm a nervous wreck. So I'm relieved, right? I don't have to do it no more? Oh. That ain't gonna make me cry. But what would you tell me to do? Of course you'll tell me the same advice that I've given you before. Brother Donnie, I need you to preach my funeral. Well, I hope I never have to do that honor for you, friend. But if I do, I want to do my best. Then I want you to do yours. As a mother, as a father, whatever you are, do your best. Believe us, do your best. Do your best, Brother Larry. My brothers, sisters, do your best. Amen. Sing something, Harry. Thank God for Harry.
Oh, thou, Lord.
Oh, yes.
Art a shield, for me.
Let's sing this before we go.
You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, the glory and the lifter of my
head. Oh, yes,
Jesus. I know thou, Lord.
Yes, Lord God.
Art a shield for me. Through the glory and the lifter of my head.
Sing it to him, children.
Thou,
when I can't go.
Through the glory and the lifter of my head. Many there be increased that trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. I cried unto the Lord with my voice.
Oh, yes.
The precious, precious Holy Ghost sustained me. For thou, O
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about. For I know that thou, O Lord, art a shield for me through the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, thou, O Lord, art a shield for me through the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, thou art a shield for me through the glory and the lifter of my head. Oh, for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Many there be increased that trouble me. Many are the demon spirits that rise against me. Be would say of my soul, there is no help for you in God. But thou, Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and you're the lifter. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round about. Do.